Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much. I don't know whether I have to apologize for Blackbaud Talk or not. I was present to one conference recently, and Anatoly Katok gave a talk, also Blackbaud Talk, and he said that material is not ready yet for transparency and for computer talk. So this is kind of thing with what I'm going to discuss, because mathematical results are few. There are some, but few, and it's mostly I would introduce some notion, and it will be some program and some conjectures. And I think it's another point of view on problems you're discussing from integrability point of view. So I will not be standing on integrability point of view at all. I mean, I would be looking at this same similar things from other perspective. So this is disclaimer. And then second thing is that, let me just start and then we'll see how it goes. So I would introduce the notion of a directed polymer in a more general setting. And I think it may be helpful to understand the properties of normal random polymers as well. I mean, this slightly different point of view, because in the setting of what is called Burgers equation or quadratic Hamiltonians, it's exactly the same notions. And then I would discuss, so this will be directed polymers. And then I'll discuss, maybe in connection with this, some properties of stochastic flows and related to the directed polymers. And then I'll discuss maybe global solutions to the random Hamilton-Jacobi equation, which is similar to KPZ equation. And then I would introduce some point fields, say natural point fields, which actually I think related to ARI processes and stuff like that, but it goes, we'll see how it goes along this line. And I would also say that I'm, since I said that I'm not discussing integrability, there are two aspects of the problems of KPZ. There is integrability aspect and this universality aspect, which is some previous speaker, I think, called robust, amazing robustness of this equation, of the KPZ behavior, which you will see everywhere. And the problem of explaining this robustness in mathematical level, that's final goal, and we're very far from it. But that's what I'm mostly interested in. All right, so the KPZ, Hamilton-Jacobi equation has the following form. And this is a random Hamilton-Jacobi equation, so randomness coming is additive randomness, so this is a random field, which kind of independent on different x and t. I'm not insisting that it's white in x and t. It can be white in t, but in x, I would rather want it to be a little bit smooth, but on a large distances, they will be decorrelated things, just not to have difficulties with that. And of course, nu is viscosity, and nu can be either positive, and this corresponds to positive temperature, so that will be T positive, or nu equal to zero, which corresponds to T equal to zero, or beta equal to infinity. And so this will correspond to directed polymer, and this will correspond to optimal path, or action minimizing path. And then, of course, everybody mostly work with Hamiltonian, which is quadratic Hamiltonian, which is gradient phi square. And that is case of Burgers equation, or KPZ equation, or Riemann equation, or there are many names for the same thing. But basically, this is quadratic Hamiltonian. And at the same time, in PDE, people kind of know that all these equations for different Hamiltonian functions behave similar way. There is no way, they're all kind of similar. And the only condition which normally people include put here is that H is a function of P, and P here will be gradient of phi. And this is momentum, the field of momenta at different point in different time. And the people assume that this is convex in P and superlinear in P, superlinear growth. In fact, what is essential is that corresponding Lagrangian is superlinear in velocity. So since I spoke about it, I introduced Lagrangian. So Lagrangian will be a function of the velocity rather than moment, and this is maximum over all p, v dot p minus h on p. And that is Lagrangian. And in case of quadratic Hamiltonian, this will be, so for Burgers, this is the same thing. Lagrangian is v square, well, that would be over 2, v square over 2. And this is the same and, as Hamiltonian. And because of that, p is equal to v, and the field of momenta is the same as field of velocity, but in general Hamiltonian is two different fields. Both are nice fields. One is the field of momenta, and velocity is a field which is what is called Legendre transform, Legendre conjugate variable to momentum, and this is velocity field corresponding to this equation. So I would think about this v as a velocity field. I think it's useful to use this way. Now, of course, another aspect of integrability for this equation that's very simple, very beginning of every study, is a Kolmogorov transformation. And of course, if you have Kolmogorov transformation, we can apply it only in the quadratic case. So only in the quadratic case you can make this change of variables. And let me be precise to put it down. So I would say, let me put psi is equal to e to the minus 1 over 2 nu phi xt with this change of variables. We get linear equation in terms of phi, which will be nu Laplacian psi minus 1 over 2 nu f psi. And then, of course, this is what is called Anderson parabolic model. This is Schrodinger operator, but we don't have I here. So it's parabolic equation. And then solution can be written by Feynman-Katz formula. So solution can be written as integral over, well, let me put it, psi initial condition of gamma at time 0. And then you have e to the minus 1 over 2 nu. And here you have integral of the action along the trajectory gamma tau d tau. And you take integration over the Brownian path gamma. So it's functional integral over Brownian path gamma. And this is what gives solution. And of course, this statistical weight is something which we associate with. This is beta. This is inverse temperature. And this statistical weight is something what is introduced for directed polymers. So directed polymers is a measure. It's a random measure for fixed beta on path gamma, which has probability distribution 1 over partition function. And here you have this action, e to the minus 1 over 2 nu f omega gamma tau tau d tau. So this density with respect of Brownian motion. This is a density with respect of Brownian measure on gamma. And that's what is called directed polymers for positive temperature. But again, you can do it only in case of Hamiltonian, which is quadratic, with Kolmogorov transformation. Now, the general thing I want to discuss, and then I will introduce more general directed polymers, is the following. So what people normally do in KPZ, they consider equation for a long time, and then they study properties of the probability distribution after this long time, rescale it, and get some limiting behavior, which is very universal. So what I want to do first, I want to discuss solution, global solution to this equation. So I'm not taking any rescaling. The randomness is fixed. It's a quench situation. And I want to point out that one should expect that there are some results in the direction that this equation has unique global solution, global in time. If you solve it from time minus infinity to plus infinity, there is basically one solution up to the additive constant for this equation or up to the multiplicative constant for that equation, just one solution which depends on randomness. And it also a little bit depend on initial condition. But of initial condition, you only remember the average behavior. So basically, if you take initial condition of a class, you consider solutions of a class which look like linear function plus sublinear function, then solution will depend only on this BNN randomness. There is just one global solution, and that's where I'm pointing out. So no rescaling, no nothing, just one solution. No initial condition, by the way. Just only this B remain from initial condition. So I'm moving in this direction. I want to formulate this as a conjecture, then I'll discuss how it's related to KPZ and other things. So conjecture, and this is also very general conjecture, is that under very mild assumption, mild assumption on the field of disorder field, almost surely, so for almost all realization of this disorder, and for all B, which is vector in Rn, and I should have said that X here belongs to Rn, then for almost B, there exists unique global solution up to additive constant, of course, and this is, I would denote it this way. That is unique global solution. T here is belong to R1. And this is true for, basically, we are expected to be true for any dimension, and for both cases, nu positive or nu equal to zero. In all the cases, there is a unique global solution. And that's one of the aims of what I want to discuss. So that is a nice result. That would have been a nice result from point of view of PDE, but we're not studying PDE. They're mostly physicists and people studying other things here. So you need to say something more about this unique solution to get meaningful information about KPZ type of questions. And then the second part of this conjecture, which is maybe more as important as that, is the following. That this global solution, you can think of, by the way, that B is equal to zero, that you just start with something which is, say, one or something order one, sublinear growth. So you assume here that this thing grows sublinearly, phi tilde. And second conjecture, kind of conjecture is the following, that if you look at this function, which is, say, this is a random field, and I would consider this field at time zero. It's stationary in time. It doesn't matter which time, because take time zero. This is just a process, random process. And so now I would assume the dimension is equal to one. So X belongs to R1, and this is a random process. And then what you want to say is that if you take this process and at point Sx, S will go to infinity, subtract the value at point 0, 0, because it's up to additive constant, so by subtracting you remove this thing, divide by square root of S, then this converges in distribution to normal, to actually Wiener process in X. I put alpha square root of S so that it will be standard Wiener process. So under this scaling, diffusive scaling, it converges to Wiener process. Very innocent looking conjecture. That's what else it can be if you know that global solution exists. Now I want to say that well, of course, random field is assumed to be stationary. I said under very mild conditions. So these mild conditions are the following, that it is stationary in X and T, and that it is weakly dependent on large distances. And that's a mild condition. Of course, it's stationary field. I mean, otherwise, you cannot do anything and cannot discuss anything. But I will not maybe go in this direction. I will not have time to go in this direction. But in fact, people who work in this area, they know that this very innocently looking assumption actually equivalent to KPZ scalings, is equivalent to the fact that KPZ objects scale like 2/3 and 1/3, which we saw several times. It doesn't give you, of course, the Tracy Wiedem distribution, but scalings are incorporated in this type of behavior. I must say that this conjecture, there are few results which are mathematically proving in this direction. There are some results which are proving in joint paper with Yuri Bakhtin and Eric Kator, and the results proving by Timo and co-authors And I just don't want to put, I want to be precise with my citation. I had it written here, and I don't have it at the moment. But there is a series of papers by Timo Seppälainen. And no, I have to put it right. It's Giorgio Rasul Haga and Timo. So there are a few results in this direction, but as far as I understand, it's still most part of it are kind of open. Now, it's just moving in this direction, just proving that it exists, and then studying this statistical property, I would say that the essential thing is just to understand the behavior of polymer measures. And again, I introduce it only in a quadratic case, so I'm going to do it in a non-quadratic case. But basically, what you want to do is the following. So you consider polymer starting from two different points, x and y. And actually, starting point, normally you consider the origin, but you can start polymer measure from two points. So it's a probability distribution on the variety of path going through this point, given by this statistical, this Gibbs measure. And there is another one going here. And what you want to say is that after long time t, these two polymer measures look the same. So they're approaching each other. They are asymptotically approaching each other when t goes to infinity. And that is basically most important step in proving that there exists global solution. And it studied many other things. So that's for positive viscosity case, for positive temperature. For nu equal to zero, that's replaced by optimal path, and then it would be optimal path coming from x and y. And we want to show that they also approach each other. They never intersect because we're considering smooth potential, but they approach each other when t goes to infinity. And the task is to understand why they're approaching each other in both cases, and what is the behavior of this polymer measure, and how quickly they approach each other. And I would say that the one difficulty here is that there are two aspects of this problem. So there is algebraic behavior, which we're used to in KPZ, the scalings, algebraic tails and algebraic scalings. And there's another thing, which where people mostly less used to, and this is what I call hyperbolicity, which means that, in fact, the thing supposed to approach each other exponentially fast in time. So both. This path will approach each other exponentially fast, and these polymer measures would get exponentially close when time increases. However, it will be very non-uniform way. And how long you have to wait until you see that they're close will depend on the distance between these two points in algebraic fashion. And that is where problem gets interesting. All right, so now let's time is up to discuss what directed polymers are. And so there is a kind of variational formula for solution of this equation for any Hamiltonian. This formula is well known. It's called Lux-Alenik formula. Lux-Alenik formula. When nu is equal to zero, variational problem formula which valid for any Hamiltonian of this type. And for nu positive, it's another formula. And this is less known, and I will introduce this formula for positive viscosity case. But maybe first for Lux-Alenik case. So that is what is optimal path is that if I want to construct solution to my problem at time x at point t, when viscosity is equal to zero, I have to introduce the following thing. I would consider, so I want to construct solution at point x, and I will consider path. And for this path gamma, I will calculate its action, which will be integral of the Lagrangian. All right. Did I push something? OK. That is will be Lagrangian. And then you also have to add the value of the initial condition at this point. Lagrangian is random because it depends on the random force, and you have to take infinite over all gamma. So this is optimal path. Now, when temperature gets positive, there is no one optical path. And you see in the Feynman-Katz formula, you integrate over all paths. So what is the counterpart of this formula? The following thing, that if I want to write solution to the thing, I would write the following thing. I would introduce stochastic equation, d gamma is equal to u dt plus square root of 2 nu white noise. So you can see this stochastic differential equation. U is the optimal, is a control. Is a random control, which control is depend on this white noise I introduced here. And then for giving control, there is a solution to this equation, which I plug in this formula. So you can see the integral from 0 to t, L, that's bad to put this. I will not put omega. It is random because it depends on the thing, but this is another randomness. Gamma, gamma dot, gamma u, gamma dot u. Well, I will put u t dt. Plus initial condition. Now, this is a random variable. It depends on this realization of this external white noise, which I don't know. So I take expectation with respect of this thing, and then I take infinum over all control u. And that's exact formula for solution. So this is stochastical optimal control. You have to just first consider this equation, and then find optimal control, and then plug it, so it's much less direct. But it also involves integration over all possible. And that is a formula which is true for any Hamiltonian. In particular, it's true for quadratic case as well. Now, it's also known that u, the optimal control u, will be actually velocity field, which I introduced before, which is conjugate to the momenta field, where p is gradient of phi. So if I know solution of the equation with giving omega, then I know the momenta field p, and then I can calculate velocity field, and that will be u. It's also known. So the definition of a general directed polymer is just the following. So directed polymer for finite time, for time from 0 to t, is solution to this equation. D gamma u is equal to u dt plus square root of 2 nu d omega, where u will be just a velocity field. It will be dh over dp, and p is a gradient of phi, and phi is the solution of the Hamilton-Jacobi equation. So that is the equation, and then the thing you define, gamma and u, you put final condition at point t, it starts at point t at time x, and it goes, time goes from 0 to t. So that is directed polymer. And believe me, it can be shown that it's exactly the same thing as this formula in case when Hamiltonian is quadratic. However, it has advantage that it is correct in general, so it makes sense in general setting. And so there another conjecture which I want to formulate is the following, that all what we know about directed polymers is true in more generality, it's true for in this setting as well. So what we know about that? That in case d equal to 1 and 2, we have strong disorder. It means that directed polymer, it doesn't look like a diffusive path at all, and variance does not grow with time. So variance of the gamma, well, here at time 0, because we start at point t at point d, is order 1 when t goes to infinity. It doesn't grow, order 1. And that's a strong disorder. And second thing is that when dimension is greater or equal than 3, then there is a transition in the coupling constant. I haven't introduced coupling constant, but I can introduce coupling constant here, putting just coupling constant gamma, and then strength of disorder, and then for small disorder, we have diffusion. The polymer behaves diffusive, and then for large disorder, and probably there is transition, and sharp transition, which is shown in the case of quadratic Hamiltonian, there is a strong disorder, again, strong disorder. So this should be true also for general setting. And let me just try to explain why I think it's an easier question for directed polymer when nu is positive than for the For the optical path. So the question is, why these two things converge and why these two polymer measures get close and close together? So I want to put some argument, which is not a proof, but I think it is a rather strong argument why we should expect this type of behavior. So let me raise it up. And this brings me to the notion of, maybe I was, okay. This I can do, yeah, let's see. Thank you. So this brings me to the notion of stochastic flow. And that's the second part of this plan, stochastic flows. So what is a stochastic flow? It's very related to stochastic differential equation. And I remind you that I have equations written there. So it's d gamma is equal to u gamma t t dt plus square root of 2 nu white noise. Now, omega is fixed, so u is a fixed velocity field. And this stochastic equation with this velocity field. Now, this is external randomness, has nothing to do with this omega. And now, if you solve it for initial, for giving initial conditions, this is stochastic process. So you would expect some time diffusion process, something like that, but it's just process. Now, if you start solving it varying initial condition, but keeping this thing fixed, so for the same disorder omega, for the same white noise, you're solving it starting from all initial conditions simultaneously, then you get stochastic flow. So what will happen is that, well, let me keep the same thing. I would start at time zero, time t, and then go to time zero, but it doesn't matter. So I would start solving it from all different initial conditions. And then I get map from my initial condition time t to initial condition to what I get at time s. Maybe time s here, and then zero. And this map, which is bring me from time t to time s, takes x and map it to some y, depending on s. This random map is called stochastic flow. It is a diffeomorphism. It's a theorem which you can prove that the map which map you from here to any time is a diffeomorphism. It's a random diffeomorphism and they have semigroup property. And so in order to prove that polymer measures are approaching each other, it's basically enough to see that trajectories of this stochastic flow approaching each other when t goes to infinity. In fact, as I said, if solution is global, I don't need to stop at zero. I can go to infinity starting with this t and see what's going on with them when t goes to infinity. So there's a question, why trajectories of stochastic flow approach each other? And then since it's diffeomorphism, this solution of differential equation, you can easily understand that they would not intersect each other. They cannot intersect because solution of differential equation do not intersect. So there is actually very little room for them. We're in dimension one here. This picture is in dimension one. So very little room for them to maneuver. And that is kind of explanation why the situation is so rigid and so robust for limiting behavior. Now let me explain, let me just give you a very simple argument why, give you example where analysis of this type, not exactly this, but this type of stochastic differential equation is very simple and give you this behavior which I describe at the moment. So that will be the following equation. Let me consider the equation which will be the following. It will be some random function depending only on x. So it doesn't depend on time, times white noise. So I take some random function depending on x and consider that stochastic equation of this type. It's not exactly the same, but it's very similar. So what will happen, and let it allow me just to go, well, I can go down in time as well. So what will happen is that if I consider two initial points, x and y, and I consider their position at time s, then the difference between them, it's very easy to see, it's going to be a martingale. Because you add independent increments here. So what you see in next moment of time, the average value is the same as before. So I consider this as an eta equation. So this is a martingale. And this is very kind of very soft argument I'm going to present. If you have a martingale, and this is a bounded martingale, because this is greater or equal than zero, this is always going staying greater than that, then it immediately implies that the difference, this martingale has a limit when s goes to infinity. So necessarily there is a limit when s goes to infinity. Here s goes to minus infinity. There is a limit of this thing. Now I want to say that limit can be only zero, because this function has no period. So limit can be either period, can be only limit of this function f. And this is a random function, doesn't have period. So if you don't have period, necessarily any two trajectories will be asymptotic to each other. It can take different time, but they necessarily approach each other. That's very soft argument, but it's always true. Now, less soft argument says that convergence actually will be exponentially fast, but not uniformly exponentially fast. So you can easily estimate that the distance between them, in general, will be decreasing exponentially. Very, also very genuine, very robust argument. And now you can ask what's going on here. And in fact, this case was studied. So we know what was the limiting behavior in this situation. And I'll describe it, and then I'll try to draw a picture for the other case. So what will happen is, so let me draw what will happen after a long time. So after a long time, what will happen will be the following, that many, many trajectories will get very close to each other. And they get very close, close and close, exponentially close. But then they separate it to say this are getting close here. And then maybe another bunch. But after a certain time, they would meet. And then they would get together like this. And then this will meet with them sometime and also will go. So that's what's going on here. And what we'll see, that if I consider situation after a long time, I'll see that the mass is concentrated along very short intervals, which are exponentially small in this S. And it's kind of located in different places. And so this is concentration of mass. And there is another thing, these points, which points of separation, they're kind of shock points, which separate them. So you get two-point field, one-point field of concentration of mass after a long time, and another point of point field of point of separation, which separate for a long time. And it turns out that these two point fields have the same scaling. They're scaled like square root of S. And if you scale them on square root of S, they have a limiting distribution. And this limiting distribution is universal. It doesn't depend on the properties of this field F under certain mild condition. So this work has been done. And in fact, it was shown by Peter Berg and Peter Berg, I believe, that this process converges to coalescent Brownian motions. So if you scale it diffusively on square root of S, it converges to coalescent Brownian motions, exactly. Right? Now, something similar happening in this situation, both in the case of polymer measures and in the case of optimal paths. So here, what will happen is that, again, mass will concentrate. So if you start the thing, again, it will be very similar behaviors. Things will concentrate. But again, they are separated by point of shocks. But maybe there is separation, and then they meet, and they go together. So picture will be very qualitatively similar to that. But scalings will be different. It will be not t to the two-third to square root of s, but it will be scaling of s to the two-third. It will be KPZ scaling. But again, after a long time, you start from all points. You'll see concentration of mass in particular places. Well, it's not exactly points, but they're exponentially smaller. On this scale, they look like points. And if you rescale on s to the two-third, you get point, yes? Say it again?
The case
on the right as well. Coalescent Brownian motions. Yeah, which was introduced from different contexts by Aratti and then studied by Peter Berg and Peter Berg. So this thing converges to, and this is supposed to converge to another point process, which is also supposed to be universal. But again, the reasons for this, so I mean, I'm discussing this new positive. So because nu positive is essential here. So there is a kind of Markov mechanism why they're approaching each other, which manifests itself through the hyperbolicity type of thing. So they approach each other, but they're separated by these points. And the points of separation are also on the scale S to the third. So you have two point fields, one here on the scale to the third, and one here above, which is shocks, which existed for a long time. And if you rescale both of them, you get two point fields, which are supposed to be the same, and which are supposed to be universal. Now, we're very far from proving these things, but convergence of this solution, this equation, and S goes to infinity, I think is a very much an agenda, and I think it's a work in progress. Now, maybe I would just say how it's connected to AD processes and then stop there. So, I would draw a picture on the level of this concentration of mass. So how we see this concentration of mass in the AD process? I want to consider AD process, not AD2, AD1, but just one AD process which actually has carry real information about everything, which is, I think, Jeremy called AD sheet, or I mean, it was called like you have x here and y here, and you connect any point x with point y, and this is AD process connecting to point to point AD process on the distance which scaled already to one, right? And so this is depending on two variables. That's why it just has only one AD process. Of course, you can consider even more interesting process, which will be AD xyt, where t will be belonging, say, to 0, 1. It's rescaled time between them. But let's just look at this one. And then let's look at the thing which was discussed in the previous talk. You just look at this position of the optimal position. So you take AD process, you fix x, you fix y, and you subtract x minus y square, and you take maximum of that for fix x, maximum over y. So where the maximum will be if x is fixed. Say, the previous talk, it was fixed at the origin. Now it will be at any point. So for example, at the origin, you get certain point where it's concentrated. Now, it's what will happen is that in some neighborhood of this point, if you take x here, the minimum will still be at the same y. It will not be x-dependent, in fact. For it's locally stable, so when you vary x here, the optimal is here. Then, after this point, there is another interval where optimal jump to another point. And then another interval, optimal jump to a third point, and up to here. Why not? Y minus 1, and so on. So you get this point field. You get two point fields. One point field of these points, where optimal is, and this point of concentration of mass. That's exactly the same thing as this point field. And another point field is above, this point of separation. And that's exactly shocks, points of separation. And again, this point of separation, it's another point process which is supposed to have the same distribution as that one, and that's where the limit of this thing will happen. So this point process, I believe they carry almost all information about AD process as well, especially if you would consider T dependence. If you do this, so if you would consider the where the optimal path ends up, depending on T, you'll get a path. And then you have a random process, and what you see here will be coalesced, kind of coalescent, not Brownian motion, but some coalescent process. And this coalescent process is similar to coalescent Brownian motions, and but we don't see it because we normally fix t equal to one. But there is kind of geometry here when they're coalesced with each other. I think that they should be the same, yeah. I discuss it with expert. I think I discuss it with, so no expert gave me exact answer. I thought there are some integral models where you can just check whether this is the same or not. I think Ivan told me that he would expect it to be the same. And I would expect it to be the same, because there is a sort of symmetry between shocks and concentration of mass. There is a symmetry. So there should be the same point fields, I believe. But I'm not expert. The only way to see it, well, I don't see exact symmetry, and the only way to see it to see it rigorously is probably not semi-rigorously, to consider it on some integrable models where you can study both of them and say the same. I don't know. If somebody asked me about that, I cannot answer. You should ask someone else. And another thing I want to say is the following, that although the formula for directed polymers, which we are the notion we're introducing, is much less direct than directed polymer in a for quadratic Hamiltonian. So what you have? You have to solve Hamilton Jacobi equation, find velocity field, plug it in the stochastic differential equation, and solution of this stochastic differential equation will be directed polymer. So it's much less direct. But it gives you more kind of insight, what is the behavior of the polymer mirror. So when I said strong disorder, I actually know this result. It's a result of comets and maybe some Karmanahu before comets and his co-authors. But I cannot explain why polymer is concentrated in dimension 1 and 2. Why do you have this strong disorder that's concentrated in distance order 1? Somebody called it determined by one pass. It's actually determined kind of by one pass, but this pass is not optimal action pass. It's another path. It depends on temperature, on mu. So I cannot explain it. I don't know, think that anyone can say where this one pass will go, depending on temperature. Now, if you look at this point of view of this equation, of stochastic differential equation, then it's kind of more plausible that you will be able to say something about it. And let me just tell you why. So this is kind of this is diffusion term, which kind of diffuses you along. And this is velocity field. So this is like diffusion in random media, like Sinai's random walk, where sometimes you push into the right, sometimes you push to the left. However, in Sinai's random walk, it will not depend on time. It will be frozen in time. And then behavior is known. What will happen is that polymer will go very tiny distance, logarithm square of time, or n. It goes in distance of the order of logarithm square n, and then stick there, and the variance will be order 1. Now here, what you have is also, sometimes velocity goes up in one direction, some in another. That's near the shocks. But now shocks depend on time. And so if you have a region in the x-time plane where shock is isolated and there are no other shocks nearby, yes, I'm almost done, then this will prevail. And when polymer reaches its area, it will be very difficult to get out of it. So that's where it will concentrate and why it will not go away from the thing. And this also kind of tells you why in dimension 3 you would expect that if disorder is large, then you go away from such things, you jump away. I mean that, but in dimension 1 and 2, you probably stick. Especially you can see it in dimension 1. It's probably easier problem. So there is a set of problems, and there is a program to study. I strongly believe that conjectures are correct, and but it's a hard problem to study. And I think that some of understanding of this amazing robustness, so universality of KPZ, may be related to what I discussed. Thank you.
The zeros of this field F are probably the points where you converge, but I mean they are not stable. I mean you jump from one to another.
Here?
The zero of F tilde, yeah. The zeros of F tilde.
What is F tilde?
Your process, which is this multiplicative,
yeah. No, it just in this case the trajectory is diffusion process. But they're just approaching each other. So if you look at the individual, so F is assumed to be positive. F doesn't have zeros because zero of F means that thing stays. It's positive. So trajectory will be diffusive. But different trajectories will follow the same diffusion one, except that they're separated and then they follow two different ones. But then they meet and follow the same one. That's how it became.
Question?
Actually, for the standard RE2 process, so say RE2 minus U square, you can approach it via this non-intersecting path that I was discussing. Is there a similar construction for this RE XY? Maybe you said it and I didn't get it.
Well, I mean, this is the same as RE2. I mean, this just contains area 1 and area 2 together. It's just point-to-point thing. If you consider it from point 0, x equal to 0, you get, this is area 2, what you call area 2.
Right.
And if you take maximum, minimum over y, you will get area 1. But it just contains information about both of them. It's just the same thing.
So there was some debate on the existence of this strong coupling phase in very high dimensions, whether there's an upper critical dimension for the KBZ equation. So this issue has been settled rigorously?
Well, on the level of polymer measures, the fact that they are they have strong disorder for large coupling constant, it is settled for all dimensions. There are papers of comets and co-authors, and you I hate when people say comets and co-authors, but I don't have the exact name. It's two Japanese co-authors, and they proved that there is a sharp transition from diffusion to localization in a weaker sense, not in the sense I was said. When I say variance is order one, it's, they didn't prove it, but they proved rather strong notion of localization after coupling constant get large in any dimension. So that's not an issue. So there are no further transition. After three, the behavior is the same.
And the exponents will be different from the diffusion.
Oh, the dimension from what? From diffusion?
The exponents.
Well, nobody knows how far this thing goes. This is one exponent. The exponent of the variance is zero because the variance is order one. But of course, there is a question how far it goes in time t. And I don't think people know that.
If you translate the result into the KPC language, so in the KPC equation there is dynamic exponent z, and then some roughness exponent. Okay, and these two add up to 2. So is there an upper critical dimension where this z becomes 2?
Okay, so once again, so this is dimension 3. It's not dimension 1. It's different. My understanding, so as I said, I'm pretty sure that the exponent of the variance of it, how spread polymer measure is zero if you define it correctly, meaning that variance is not growing. It stays order one. Thing is localized. Now, of course, it just moves and goes huge distances from the origin. How far it goes in time, I don't know. I don't think it's universal, but I don't know.